on the long-running Radio 4 programme Desert Island Discs. In addition to the 8 records, a luxury, your choice of a book, and the complete works of Shakespeare, you also get on your desert island a copy of the Bible. Suppose, though, you're trapped on a desert island for 20 years with only a Bible. Like Tom Hanks in Castaway, but instead of having Wilson the volleyball, you have a Bible to read. And also, you've never been to church in your life. But when you're rescued after these 20 years, after you've read the Bible, what you've read has so impacted your life, what you really want to do is go to church. However, your experience of the scriptures has been outside the context of the contemporary church culture. And in reading the stories of the early church, you're convinced that the Holy Spirit is essential to being a follower of Jesus' existence, as air is to staying alive. The chances are you would be shocked in going into a contemporary church after your island isolation. There would be a big gap between how most believers and churches operate, the apparent absence of the church spirit's action in a manifest way. And this is not a criticism, because this reality is the nature of many churches to differing degrees. Among many of the notable differences a person in this circumstance would experience, the experience of the reality of the Holy Spirit's presence amongst God's church seems to be somewhat different to the accounts we have of the early church as recorded in the Bible. And there are many reasons why. And it's not that God is absent. And it could be that God is choosing to reveal himself in a different way. But we must also question as to whether this reality that we've become comfortable with is really the best that God desires for his church. So over these next 3 Sundays, we're going to reflect on some of the aspects of what a spirit-shaped life might look like in our lives as disciples of Jesus today and in our life as Jesus' church today. The spirit-shaped life is not about swinging from the chandeliers, but it's about an openness to what God wants to do in our lives. So let's now hear 2 readings from the Acts of the Apostle that give us some insight into the life of the early church in regard to the Spirit working in and through it. And Pat's going to bring us our readings.
First reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill and those who were tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then we move on to Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 27. While talking with him, Peter went inside, found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered. 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. How he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized in water. They have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Amen. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Empowered and filled by the Spirit, go God's people, the church. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. It's what God said to the prophet Ezekiel. Those dried bones which God brings to life through his Spirit, with breath being the same word for the Spirit in Hebrew, ruach, breath, spirit. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Ruach of God was hovering over the waters. The breath of God was hovering over the waters. The breath of God comes and breathes life. Power from God to animate. Power from God to begin. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Spirit of life is the Spirit of God who gives us life. As Job says, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. We need the Spirit of God to give us life, to infuse the Spirit of our birth and creation with his life. Without the life of God within us, we are lifeless. With the life of God within us, life is sacred, a spark of the divine. The image of God is revealed within us. To be open to God's Spirit is then a way for us to become all that we were created to become. To be open to the Spirit is to allow all that God has created within us to be released. To be open to the Spirit is to live a life in all its fullness, as Jesus has promised. The Spirit can come and revive our spirit. A divine guest coming and taking up residence within the deepest part of our souls. The confession, where there is life, there is the Spirit, is both bold and beautiful. But it's also a deep truth, because the life-giving power of the Spirit reaches out into all creation. The Spirit of God is the person of God who makes alive the spirit of the people of God, animating us with eternal life. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, empowering and filled by the Spirit go God's people, the church. Jesus' story as the Word who became flesh began with Gabriel's words to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The Spirit who hovered over the waters of creation is the power of the Most High which hovered over the womb of a young woman to bring to birth the long-promised Messiah. Then later, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Into the desert full of the Spirit, Jesus faces down temptation, and then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus went into his ministry full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is full of the Spirit in order to do God's will. Without the Spirit, there is no Jesus preaching or teaching. Without the Spirit, there is no miracles of Jesus. There is no mission of Jesus. Jesus is the man full of God's Spirit doing the will of the Father. And Jesus is the one who is our pattern for everything. We can do what Christ did because we have the same power of God within us. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Jesus is not saying his disciples will do better things than those he has done, more impressive things, but he's saying there will be more of them. There will be a greater number of them. Because instead of the Spirit working in and through one person, the Spirit will now be working in and through many people of the church, Christ's new body. And after he says this in John's Gospel, he says this, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." It is the Spirit that will do this amazing thing. Jesus' people, Jesus' disciples, Jesus' church are the people of the Spirit, filled with the same power that Jesus was filled with, enabled to do what Jesus did. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Empowered and filled by the Spirit go God's people, the church. Just like Jesus. That ought to be the mantra of the church, our slogan, our meme, our DNA, just like Jesus. And after the day of Pentecost, the day the Spirit came, just as Jesus promised, the church did become like Jesus, just like Jesus, in so many ways. In our reading, we heard, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people." This was when they were filled with the Spirit. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. Just like Jesus. In our reading, we have crowds gathered, bringing those who were ill and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. In Matthew's Gospel, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove out spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Just like Jesus. In our reading from Acts, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them. And in Mark's and Matthew's Gospel, some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man. They made an opening in a roof by Jesus, digging through it, and lowered him the mat the man was lying on. They begged Jesus to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Just like Jesus. And in Acts, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee, went into the region of Judea on the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. That was how the early church went about things. Just like Jesus. The ministry of Jesus extended through the people of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, they would have remained powerless, like a torch without a battery, like a cell without a mitochondria, like the sun without the fusion reaction. The Spirit is what brings power and life to the church. Without the Spirit, the church is dead. Where there is life, there is the Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Empowered and filled by the Spirit go God's people, the church. But God's Spirit goes beyond and seeks out new life and new civilizations to fill and empower. The Spirit came and worked on the heart of a Roman centurion called Cornelius and turned his heart toward the living God, turning his mind toward an angel's message, Responding, Cornelius invited Peter to his home. Peter the fisherman, Peter the rock, Peter the Pentecost preacher, Peter the Jew, invited to the home of a Gentile. Yet the Spirit has all things in hand. The Spirit speaks to Peter in a dream, preparing his heart and mind for the new possibilities that lie ahead. The changes to age-old convention. And that dream was given form through the arrival of Cornelius' invitation. And the Spirit breaks down the barriers of what is right and proper, unholy and holy, clean and unclean, and brings Peter into the home of Cornelius. And the threshold of something new has been crossed. The Rubicon of the new kingdom possibility has been broached. And the Spirit speaks through the words of Cornelius, softening Peter's heart and opening his mind to the possibility of the boundaries of God's tent being expanded. And as Peter responds, then the Spirit comes. The Spirit fills, the Spirit speaks, and the Spirit confirms that all is okay. The day of Pentecost arrives in Caesarea. When Peter later comes to explain to others what has happened, he says, "Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to stand in God's way?" The Spirit goes ahead and fills people, confirming the way of God's church. If it is good with the Spirit, it shows that God is leading the way. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Empowered and filled by the Spirit, go God's people, the church. And we, as God's church today, are nothing without God's empowering presence that is the Holy Spirit. Can these dry bones live? Yes, with the breath, the Spirit of God bringing life to them. But do we want God to bring life to our dry bones? Do we want God to bring life to our church? Are we afraid of the new life that the Spirit might bring? Are we wary of the power of God in our midst? Do we prefer to remain empty rather than to be fulfilled? Yet our fear, our wariness, our preference may not be the reality that we actually inhabit. Jesus says this to his nighttime visitor, Nicodemus. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Jesus says no one can enter the kingdom of God without the Spirit, without the work of new creation coming through the power of the Spirit that hovers over the waters of our lives. We are not of Jesus. It's not a case of us rejecting the Spirit if we're a follower of Jesus. If we're a follower of Jesus, it's the case, as Paul puts it, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit's already within us if we're a follower of Jesus. We just need to wake up and pay attention. If we are in Christ, we have the Spirit. But the question remains, how open are we to the Spirit's working and power in our lives? God will never force himself upon us, but God deeply desires for us to open our spirits to a deeper cooperation with his Spirit. And as we are drawn into a deeper life of the Spirit, the fullness of life that we are promised in Christ will be opened before us. The image of God will be more fully revealed within us, be it in the fruit or the gifts of the Spirit. We will see the life of God spring up within us as a new creation is brought to life within us. The breath of God is already within us. The new life of God comes as the breath of God flows within our being, animating us to eternal life. The Spirit of God empowers us, moving us on from our lethargy and apathy, moving us from our traditions and convention. The Spirit gives us energy, vigor, fresh expressions, new frontiers. The Spirit is what opens us up to new possibilities. The Spirit opens us to the potential of the new thing that God is doing, even if it might seem out of place, out of the ordinary, out of orthodoxy. It is God's Spirit who sets the agenda, and we just need to try and keep up. We just need an openness to what God can and wants to do in our lives. Because where there is life, there is the Spirit. Where there is the Spirit, there is God's kingdom. And if it is good with the Spirit, it shows God is leading the way. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Empowered and filled by the Spirit, go God's people, the church. Let us pray. Lord, I am open to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come to me, dwell in me, speak to me, so I may become more like Christ. Lord, give me the courage to be open. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.